Welcome to a mini episode of Untrue Crime, where fiction meets felonies. I'm Belle DeWing.
And I'm Alexandria Parker. Today's episode includes content warnings for suicide and child death.
This is your fair warning that this podcast uses explicit language before someone walks in at just the wrong time. As a last warning, today's episode includes suicide and child death. Let's get this started, shall we?
No, not yet. Are you going to call it Stovall? More like Stovall from...
Naming it Mini Episode 4.
Oh, okay.
That was that was just a placeholder because I wanted the title there.
I see. Okay, well, now we shall.
Okay. The Stovall Artist. Born in the early 1900s, barely able to see 1950, yet their mysteries were only uncovered in 2022. Gwen Stovall, 45 at her time of death, was a poet. Roderick Stovall, 47 at his time of death, was a painter. Before delving into the story, let me remind the viewers that they both died within 2 weeks of one another, and presumably in days of one another. Neither were suspected to be natural causes. In the present day, people have their own theories as to what actually happened to the Stovalls. Some believe that perhaps Roderick's death was natural, and that Gwen's following death was a suicide. The two's art made sure to point out how much they loved each other and how intertwined they were. The connection that they shared was public knowledge. Gwen had been the one to find Roderick dead, and seeing as the two did not often create art about other people outside of their family and public figures, she is presumed to not have a large support system. She had his family, but she'd been with Roderick since they were in high school. That's a major loss, and she had already lost her daughter. It isn't implausible. Another theory is a simple one. They both died of a similar illness. So little is known about their deaths that any presumption is acceptable. However, this one is less likely due to police involvement at the time. One theory states that perhaps the deaths were suicides, just not one suicide. Neither had ever truly recovered from when Muse went missing, so that was one option. There's a few people that speculate that perhaps this is true, but it was from the guilt of the dead body in their basement if they were the ones that had put it there. A very popular guess is that they were assassinated. The Stovalls made political commentary through their art, and as they grew, it was recognized by the press and public. Perhaps the government feared that having these people grow into popularity was more dangerous, and put a firm stop to it. It would explain how clean their deaths were, and how little the police were actually able to figure out. The last major theory that holds ground is that someone else killed them, but who is the question? This theory leads to the little girl in the basement, as they could have used their house as a storage unit for a third victim after killing them both. They'd searched public records for a murderer found around that time period, and one was caught shortly after the investigation into their deaths. This would also explain why their art remained down there, as the Stovalls were very proud of their work, and it seems unlikely that they'd purposefully close a basement with so much art locked away in it. Either way, their deaths are just as much of a mystery as the rest of the story, though it can easily be glossed over due to the little girl's death. With these artists came the art, and eventually a daughter, in which was lovingly referred to as Muse. She appeared in many, many of their works, and disappeared when she was 16, never to be seen nor heard of again. Their art was popular during their lives, but like many fine artists, their early deaths made it all the more captivating. With each of their works dated, art historians were able to somewhat accurately piece together their life story, which was later confirmed by Gwen Stovall's found, unpublished biographies that were later published by the families. Their popularity began to skyrocket as their art showcased their love for each other growing, the struggles they faced, what they overcame, what was lost to time. They were able to love and cry right next to the artists that they loved so much. Adaptations began to be released, beginning with books, progressing to a shortly run TV series, and then a blockbuster hit titled We Are Art. With that, the Stovalls' reputation had been set in stone. Their love story, the mystery of where their daughter Muse had disappeared to, all of it, the popularity increased rapidly. Museums noticed a gradual increase of people coming in to see the Stovalls' work, until the point where they began having sections dedicated to them to accommodate the influx. A museum was later opened specifically to showcase the work of the Stovalls. Everything was styled very meticulously and approved by the family of the Stovalls. It was primarily done in large hallways, which would take the viewer through their lives via their art. There were multiple paths that could be taken. One was to see their love story, which was the most popular. Another was to view Gwen's work, another for Roderick's, and one for the story of Muse. They did, of course, cross, but there were guided dots along the floor to take the viewer on the journey that they wanted to focus on.
I love that. I love that so much. That's an excellent design for a museum.
Isn't it so excellent?
God, that's good.
Especially a museum with the dates and the timeline so clearly set out.
Oh, that's so good.
I know, so good. I know. You'll love this next part, despite the additional money that you have to spend.
Okay. I'm ready.
For an additional $14.99, one could purchase an audio tour as well.
Oh, God! Yes!
There you go. In which there were five options to choose from in various different languages.
I love museums.
They're so excellent. I love museums.
Love museums.
I love museums. Even those fake museums. I love science centers. I love everything that has to do with learning.
Museums.
Except for school.
Like school. I like museums more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love museums.
The first four were walkthroughs of the art, three for the people involved and one for the combined story. The last, however, was what the museum quickly became known for. Gwen's autobiography was interwoven with a commissioned author's editions and an art historian that would occasionally cut in to comment about why the art was so impactful to the story. It was designed almost as an audiobook, and people found it so moving that oftentimes they would pause to mourn the loss of Muse. With this experience becoming so successful, the Stovall's reputation was set in stone times two. The same owners wished to capitalize on said success and began planning for another museum. They planned to purchase the Stovall's untouched residence, clean it up a bit, and have a walkthrough of their home. Guides would tell the story as they walked, and there would be a second location close by to really showcase the art associated with their home. It would be a new experience, more lively than the last. When construction workers entered their home, however, they discovered a basement with plenty of uncovered art and a dead body of a girl just around the age of 10. And that is where we left off with the Stovalls, but that is not the end for the people that had grown to love them so much. It is only the beginning. As the story was released to the public, people began to argue, fight, and speculate. There were so many guesses as to what could have happened that it made the Stovall artists more popular, as now people were getting involved in their work to attempt to solve the mystery. Many artists and art lovers alike were devastated. There were many people that had idolized the Stovalls, as their art was what brought them into art in the first place. Professors loved referencing them, as their arts progression was a helpful tool to show students how to improve on their own art, and even how the famed had to learn how to improve. So, where did the world go after the release of the dead body in the Stovall's home? How did things change? In reality, they didn't. The general public cared for about a month. Museums purchased the new, uncovered art without much of a second thought, and people were eager to see the new works, hoping they'd uncover something new. Theories began coming out rapidly. The true crime cases came and went, and then it all slowed down, as the world knows how to move on. This was not the biggest revelation of the year. There was still war, there's still politics. Two dead artists and one long-dead girl were just no one's biggest concern, minus art historians, lovers, and specialists. In these communities, plenty of discord and discourse continues to surround the Stovalls. One theory, returning to the beginning of this mini-episode, is that the child was placed there after their deaths. This is a popular one, though some claim that it is so they can, quote-unquote, preserve the Stovall's reputation, with others arguing that there is nothing to preserve, because they are already dead. With the Stovall's death being a mystery of their own, people thought the two might be related. Again, there was a murderer found shortly after, but it's unclear if he had just killed one person or if he had killed multiple. He had only claimed to have killed one person, however, he's a murderer on trial, which does make one more preferential to wanting to only admit to one murder.
You know, there are people who will get on trial for murder, though, especially like serial killers, and they will like confess to murders that they did not commit because they want more fame and like recognition. I always thought that was so weird. If I was on trial for murder,
oh, it's very odd.
I would do my best to be as unguilty of murder as possible.
Yeah.
Unless I was crazy or unless I was pleading guilty.
See, in this case, I would presume that the goal was to get out of jail sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and why wouldn't that be the goal? Serial killers are weird, man.
I don't understand that. Like, I wouldn't want to spend the rest of my life in jail.
I suppose if you're already going to get a life sentence, then what does it matter? But at the same time, it's like, don't plagiarize people's work, serial killers. That is illegal.
That's not right.
Actually, you don't have the legal right to claim someone else's work as your own. You would be frowned upon and removed from academic communities for if it was in a paper.
The serial killer happened to come forward and showcase the Stovall's work and went, "This is mine." That's
fraud.
Not true. That's not true. Another posits that the little girl was a replacement for Muse. The Stovalls had never recovered from Muse's disappearance. They spoke about it up until their deaths. They wrote, they painted, allegedly graffitied. They were adamant that they wanted their daughter back. Some believe that they could have gone crazy and kidnapped a little girl of her likeness. After all, Muse had been, even as she got older, continuously depicted as a child. Could this be because after her disappearance, she was replaced by a child? Some claim that they believe they might have had another child and hidden her from the world, but she had passed, causing further grief, leading to their early deaths. There is no actual evidence to prove that Muse was just one person, especially with some of her likeliness only being her hand, her hair, pieces of her. Perhaps her sibling looked very much similar to her, and that's why she was portrayed on a sliding scale of age. There could have never just been one Muse. There were two, and the sisters were the Muses. Public records cannot find the birth of another child. However, her life would have begun in 1940 to 1941, which is a complex set of years for just about everyone in the world. It isn't unreasonable to assume that one document might have gotten lost, World War II or not. There are theories that Stovall did kill the girl. One says that they wanted to take revenge on the world for taking their daughter from them and therefore killed someone else's. However, not many people believe it. It's confusing to presume that the people that mourned the loss of their daughter so deeply would take the life of someone else's much younger daughter, and frankly, it didn't seem to align with their values. They were very clear with their values through their political work that it didn't seem to all line up. Another says that perhaps it was an accident, and the guilt led to, you guessed it, their suicides. Again, not really plausible, but it's something that's out there, so I'll mention it. The third is the most simple, that they had just killed her, with no real reason to do so. Lastly, but certainly not the last theory to exist out there, is that their nephew, who inherited the house, was the one to kill the little girl. He was interrogated, but nothing came up. Still, it would have been a long time ago, and it does seem like something that could happen. He did not use the house, but he had ownership of it. He wouldn't care as much about their art as they would, and could potentially lock it away. It doesn't make much sense as to why he would do that. It does leave more doors open than we originally began with. However, it is something that is discussed that holds actual merit. Not all of the theories in this world hold much merit. Some people are insane.
Theorists, what you gonna do?
Theorists. And then you got the true crime people that all showed up once there was this new mystery and they realized that these famous artists could have been killers. And you know what? Good for them, because they're all fictional, so they're all on true crime podcasts. They're actually all us.
Speaking of people trying to solve mysteries,
there are plenty more theories out there, but that is all we have time to cover for today. If you have theories as to the deaths and disappearances involved in the Stovall story, please let us know at untruecrimethepodcast@gmail.com, all lowercase. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week for the beginning of season 3. Bye!
Bye!